How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Harrison Fagan. In a little bit, we're going to talk to Eric Pinkus of Bleacher Report and Basketball Insiders, and we really can't wait to do that. I personally cannot wait for that conversation. It's going to be really fun.
Well, I have some bad news.
What happened?
I recorded it already with Eric.
What?
And I have some worse news.
Uh-huh.
The audio quality, it got a little bit spotty at the end of the interview. It got a little bit spotty. So it turns out I still don't know how to record anything correctly, and maybe I shouldn't ditch you in the future and I need you.
See, this is why we do the show. We make that joke the way we normally do it.
Yeah.
We maybe could have talked about this off the air.
Yeah, this one's on me. I'm sorry.
All right, everyone. All right, Harrison's in charge of the rest of the show. I'm going to sign off here for a bit.
No. Hold on. I need somebody to talk to me about the tampering, because we recorded our interview with Eric on Wednesday night, and we talked a little bit about what tampering could be and what we predicted it might lead to, when we actually kind of correctly predicted that it would just be a fine. But what we didn't predict, that it would be literally the biggest fine for tampering in NBA history. So the Lakers' greatness, even when they tamper, they are the best at it. Because not only did they get stopped, they aren't going to get stopped from signing Paul George. The league found no evidence of a predetermined agreed to agreement. But that was horrible. That was almost a sentence. You guys know what I meant. But the Lakers, they got this $500,000 slap on the wrist. And so while that's a very expensive slap on the wrist, I wouldn't recommend buying that yourself. The Lakers can very much afford it, and I think the reaction in Lakers headquarters this morning was probably like, oh no, not the $500,000, don't take that, anything but that.
We'll talk a little bit more about that, but before we get to that, make sure everybody's following the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Today's show is brought to you by Blue Apron. And like Harrison said, the Lakers were found guilty to an extent of tampering, $500,000 fine. Bill Plaschke is calling them a nationwide joke, so therefore now
does
you know.
Does anybody, like, a nationwide joke, is the nation aware that the Lakers were fined $500,000? I'm not sure that most of the nation, I know Lakers Nation is aware, mm-hmm. So, but, like, I don't know that the actual nation is aware that the Lakers were fined 500. Like, did anybody walk around today and be like, oh man, what an embarrassment for the Lakers? I don't think anybody noticed.
I mean, here's a general rule for all sports at any given time. Whatever Bill Plaschke says, the opposite is true. So, like, if you ask Bill Plaschke what the score is of a game and he tells you that the Lakers are winning, the Lakers are probably losing. If you ask Bill Plaschke, hey, Bill, what's the weather like outside? And he says, oh, man, it's a super nice day. He's standing in the middle of Hurricane Harvey. So, like, just generally Jesus. Speaking, Bill Plaschke is wrong about everything. That's just that's how that goes.
Including where to put his elbows during a press scrum.
The Lakers are not a national joke. I mean, the one concern I have is that the Lakers were inept enough in their tampering to be caught tampering in a league that does not care about tampering.
Like, yeah, well, because and the worst is how they got fined for tampering, because everybody assumed, Eric and I talk about in the interview, that we thought it was going, and we mostly talked about LeBron and all that stuff, but we talked a little bit about tampering, and both of us predicted that they would get fined for the Magic going on Kimmel thing, but they didn't. They got fined for some email from Rob Pelinka.
I want to personally let Magic off the hook here, because you, like, and
the,
I,
he's supposed to be Captain Burner Phone. Yeah,
like we thought for sure it was going to be
Magic. I 100% thought it was going to be a fine to Magic. Like, it, the fact that it was Pelinka, who was an agent and should know how this stuff works, like, blows my mind.
Yeah, he's supposed.
Did he just
to
forget
the...
that he was a GM now, and he wasn't an agent, so he can't, like, agents, you know, they can't be punished for doing, they can do whatever. There's, like, no consequences for them. But did he just, like, forget what happened?
I don't know. And I mean, this is what we talked about when the charges were initially brought up, right? That the charges, if so long as there wasn't an actual punishment in terms of the Lakers cannot sign Paul George, they cannot acquire Paul George in any way, shape, or form. They lose draft picks, whatever. Like, if that does not happen, as it did not, the one concern moving forward is, should we be concerned about the ineptitude of this front office to be caught? And if Rob Pelinka was supposed to be this cagey agent who understood how to find loopholes in the CBA and have these conversations without getting in trouble, and he's the one that's getting caught and the one that's in trouble. Like, if I'm Jeannie Buss, I'm kind of sitting there saying, like, Magic, this was your hire. You know, we didn't even really put out a real GM search.
Well, I think it was, I don't think it was just his hire. I think it was her hire on some level as well. Like, this is a person that she knew really well going in because of his time as Kobe's agent.
And by the way,
like, he was Laker family.
And by the way, this gets back to that entire hiring process in the first place. That occasionally, when you're hiring for a position as important as general manager, you generally want to throw out a pretty wide net and see what you can get back.
The Ball family would disagree. You only hire members of your own family to do jobs.
And it seems to be working out pretty well for them. I mean, Lonzo Ball definitely played his absolute best in the ZO2s.
Like, I was watching their reality show last night. Like, the one of their, like, friends or business associates, they just call him Uncle. Like, something. It's like Uncle A, I think. And so, like, they just made him a family member just so that he could officially join Big Baller Brand, I guess.
That's amazing.
Like, when I hire people at Silver Screen and Roll, it's only people that I consider family. Like, you're kind of like a father figure to me. And, like, I consider Grant Goldberg like a son. And so I think that's really the only way to go about hiring processes. So I disagree with you.
And you also have to, you know, take into account your stepfather, Pete Zayas. Pete and I have a really weird relationship now that I think about it.
You're both my dads.
Yeah, that's weird. All right, so anything else that you wanted to... anything else that you wanted to add to this? There's nothing really to say. Like, this was Floyd Mayweather having a $500 watch slapped off his wrist. Like, the $500,000 watch slapped off his wrist. Like,
do you think Floyd Mayweather would pick up a $500,000 watch if he dropped it?
No, and I think he would brag about it. Like, I could see
Mayweather. He'd probably Instagram that watch on the ground, be like, "It's dirty and gross now. I'm not picking this up."
Yeah, yeah, that's he's a fair weather Mayweather kind of guy. That would be considered bad weather.
That was really bad.
Yeah, that was bad.
Anyway, so I'm going to fine Anthony $500,000 for that, for tampering with the quality of our program. Although I guess in that spirit, I'm going to get hit with a much worse one after we come back from the end of this interview.
I would probably say you.
It's fine. It's just like it's a little choppy right at the end. It's okay. Like, and we couldn't pass up the chance to have Eric on the podcast, and so we're just gonna roll with it. If you guys get irritated with the audio quality towards the end of the interview, I apologize.
Yeah, I don't. I do not apologize.
I do. I love you guys.
On the record. I do not apologize at all.
Anyway, this apology was brought to you by Blue Apron.
Blue Apron, first and foremost, you want to go to blueapron.com/LOLakers. Blue Apron sends you super fresh ingredients, very easy to make meals. They force you to try new foods, which, like tonight, was the first time ever that my wife had a po' boy, and it was a shrimp po' boy with like a cornmeal coating that you cook it in, and then we threw some hot sauce on there, made a relish and corn. It was really, really good with a cucumber and tomato salad that was, I mean, in this weather was super refreshing. And by the way, like this weather I'm talking about, it's like 90, it's like 100 degrees right now. Plashky's probably wearing a jacket, but it's
I,
like
I had to stand outside in the sun for 3 hours yesterday, but that's neither here nor there. But yes, the Blue Apron is wonderful. I just did move back out of my parents' house, so I'm no longer a mom's basement blogger. But before I left, I made sure to make a couple dinners for myself and my parents, and they were very impressed. I'm not sure they totally understand the Blue Apron dynamic and like how easy they make it to make these meals, because I think they think I'm a gourmet chef now. I probably shouldn't go home until I have more Blue Apron stuff on the way, because they might actually expect me to like cook well.
The other great thing about Blue Apron is that these meals are done quickly. All these meals can be done in under 40 minutes or, you know, under 40 minutes. Some take as little as 20 minutes. Depending on what you're cooking. So, you know, sometimes you work all day, you come home, you don't want to slave over the oven for hours. This is done under an hour at all times. Well, you're just kind of weird like that. I know sometimes I don't, but even with that, like my wife and I, we've taken up cooking as a habit. It's made our relationship a little bit better. We crack open a beer or we crack open a bottle of wine, put on some music and cook for a bit. And then we gaze longingly into our food.
Stop. No, just stop.
I said our food, not each other's eyes. Get your mind out of the gutter. But
anyway, Blue Apron, it's amazing, and I'm sure that it's made your cooking experience easier with Jen, and it's made my cooking experience easier on my lonesome self in my own apartment. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a really great product. The food's awesome.
Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/LOLakers. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/LOLakers. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Let's talk to Pincus. And by the way, I still haven't forgiven you for not allowing me to talk to Eric.
Sorry, not sorry. All right, and we welcome on Eric Pincus on the Locked On Lakers. Eric, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well. Thanks, Harrison. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so you are currently with I messed up our intro again, and Anthony's going to give me a hard time about this, but you are currently with Bleacher Report as their Lakers lead writer. You do things for Basketball Insiders. You have been going on NBA TV recently. Is there anything else that I'm missing as far as you're setting up your resume?
Well, I also have a Hollywood Hoops podcast with Josh Martin, and we cover Lakers, Clippers, some Bruins, a little bit of Trojans when we have to, being that both Josh and I are from, we went to UCLA, so but we cover local stuff, we cover some Drew League stuff, things like that, just fun stuff around LA.
Okay, see, all of you guys should definitely go ahead and listen to that and subscribe to that if you aren't already, just in case you're looking for other stuff to other Lakers content, other Los Angeles basketball sports content to listen to when you're not listening to Locked On Lakers, although we prefer that you listen to Locked On Lakers. No offense, Eric.
of course.
But so I guess like my first question for you is, are you tired of explaining what needs to be done to create two max salary slots yet?
No, I mean, the Lakers are keeping it interesting given, you know, there are the tampering allegations. Russell Westbrook hasn't signed his extension yet. So there's still some areas that are interesting to talk about still, and you know, we'll have to see, and certainly the whole Kyrie Irving trade with Isaiah Thomas and all that stuff, it just made for interesting conversation. I'm not really sick of it yet. I'm sure as it gets closer and closer and closer, it'll be just dead horse, just beating a dead horse. But right now, I still have energy. We could still talk about LeBron James. I think there's a real viable chance that it happens, but do I know that it's going to happen? Do I expect it? I'm not a big expecter. It's always hard to make these massive moves happen. But if LeBron wants to come, the Lakers will make room for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that goes without saying. So like, what month are you estimating next year you're just going to stop doing radio appearances just because you're so sick of being asked how do the Lakers create two max salary slots?
Well, you know, it's all about building up a brand and trying to get my name out there and continue to pay the mortgage. So I'm very patient. I have three kids, so I'm used to explaining things more than once. So I'm good. I'll go until I run out of breath.
Okay. We will get into that. We will get into the tampering stuff that you mentioned. But before we got to that, we wanted to get a couple dumb questions out of the way. This is almost like a shorter version of the frequently asked questions, but just for, I'm assuming your, definitely for my Twitter mentions, I'm assuming for your Twitter mentions as well. So just a couple questions I wanted to get your thoughts on, and you can just give a quick answer if you don't feel like it deserves a whole lot of time. So first one, can the Lakers, quote, just find a team to dump Lou Aldang on?
I think so at some point. Now isn't really the time, although you never know. I mean, there are some options out there that could come up, but they're probably bad options. They're not the kind of options that you're going to be like, oh, this is really going to help the Lakers. But I think some fans would just celebrate that they are longer on, that Dang is no longer there. But the reality is that there's no reason to stretch him out, waive his salary. There's no reason to make a bad trade yet because they have time. But if they can just get rid of him, it's hard to find a bad trade given that Dang's contract's probably worse than any contract coming back. I think at some point it could cost a first-round pick. It could cost some nice prospect. I don't know how eager they are to give up those youthful considerations, but when the time comes, I think they will be, and they'll do what they need to do. They'll have to be creative in doing it.
Yeah, you said that they might. You mentioned like a youthful prospect, but are you sure that they couldn't just find a team to take him if they just play him a lot and build up his trade value?
Well, how do you play him? Like, okay, so he's not really a three anymore. So if he's a four and he's behind not only Julius Randle and Larry Nance, but now Kyle Kuzma, then he's not going to play. And you can even argue that Brandon Ingram deserves some time, experimentally perhaps, but I think down the road that he may end up playing a portion, maybe even a large portion of his time at four. I don't know if he's ready yet physically, but I don't see room. And then you say, well, I'll find it three. You're playing Ingram, obviously, in big minutes. And then, I mean, you can argue that Kuzma may make his way into the rotation and that the only way to really get him in is to play him at three. You can argue that Corey Brewer is probably a better player to play alongside Lonzo Ball by a significant margin.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that takes much arguing.
Right. And so, are you? And what kind of minutes would Dang need to get to raise his value so that someone would be willing to look at his contract, which is, you know, not cheap, and $18 million next season, $18.8 the year after that. So when I say next season, the season that we're going into right now, it's $17.2, right? So he's got $54 million that's owed over three. That's a lot of money, and it's hard to imagine any kind of playing time where his value is anywhere close to that contract, and then you're taking away minutes from younger guys. I mean, they didn't play Mozgov, the last month of the season? I'd have to go back and check how long they stopped playing him.
Longer than that.
And they were able to move. Yeah, so they were able to move him without building up his value. It just cost something really expensive in D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, so, I mean, these questions are, they're somewhat facetious, but they've been things that have been asked to me in the past, and I'm sure you've probably gotten stuff like this too, because people just...
Pretty regularly.
I think there are people that just assume that the Lakers can just do this. They can just get out of this contract, and it's not going to be something that's easy. It's probably not going to be something that's painless if they want to do it. Like, you know, they can't just attach a second rounder to him, right?
No, I think it's easy-ish to get rid, if they needed to get rid of Jordan Clarkson to shave off some room. But even right now, I don't think there's a great market today for Jordan Clarkson, and it would be a losing proposition right now. Now, some of that is because, by and large, and not across the board, by and large, most teams look at their rosters and are like, yeah, we got a nice team. You know, they're happy. They're like, these young guys we got, we're going to be great. And then you get to December and you realize, wow, we stink. Now you start looking to a team like the Lakers where you have a guard who can score and score at a high level. I mean, you could argue, given full reign full opportunity. Someone like Clarkson might be able to get to 20 points a game. I don't know if that team would win a lot of games, but he's someone who, if you gave him a green light and let him be a primary scorer, he can certainly score. I mean, there are teams that are injured, and you look at the Pelicans, and they just lost Solomon Hill, who's a wing player, and Clarkson's a guard, but still, they don't have a lot of depth. You can look at teams like that. I'm not saying that's a workable team for the Lakers. I'm just saying you find a team that doesn't have enough bodies. I mean, right now they've got Etuan Moore, and they've got, of course, Jrue Holiday and Ian Clark. So you figure between those three, they don't really – and they've got Rondo, right? So they don't really need a guy like Clarkson, even though the team that at least you could say, yeah, they need some help because they have some injuries and they don't have a lot of wing depth. But that doesn't help you in the case of Jordan Clarkson, in my mind anyway. So those are the kind of issues that you have. There are some teams that need help. I don't know if there's a lot of teams around the league that need a guard like Jordan Clarkson today. But when we get to December, get to January, and then closer to February, I do think that could change. And if it doesn't, they could always look to move him later, although that becomes problematic because you need a team that's not sending any salary back, and that's going to get harder and harder to do as we get closer and closer to next summer.
And I think the other thing to keep in mind is that, like, for people not really aware, is that Clarkson is not nearly good enough of an asset to attach to Deng's deal and have that be something that you're able to get rid of. Clarkson is something that you'd probably have to move off of separately, or you'd have to include a whole lot more. Am I reading that correctly? I mean, it sounds like I think around the league, I think the opinion of Clarkson has lowered, if it was ever very high at all, but it's certainly lowered since his rookie campaign, I would imagine.
Well, I think he's thought of as a good third guard on a good contract. He's not paid as a starter, although a little bit more like a starter now than a year ago. I do think that he's very appealing as a young guy who can score. I don't think he's perceived around the league as a point guard, and so maybe if that's changed from freshman year to now, is that a point played pretty well at the point when he was a rookie. And he really isn't a point guard. That was just, you know, it was a guy getting opportunities on a really bad team in a bad situation for the team, but a good situation for him. And since then, it's kind of clear that he doesn't have true vision as a playmaker. He can definitely get you assists, probably average 4, or on a bad team where he's getting a ton of minutes and a ton of usage that he could probably get up to 5 assists, you know, a game. I mean, that's just guessing that he could average that. That's kind of high for how I perceive him as a playmaker. It probably would be an efficient usage. But he's a nice player. But the problem is if you package him with Deng, now you're saying a team's taking him on for multiple years at really what would be $30 million a year on average, right? So let's say you took – right now the Lakers traded – and I get this one to kind of go with what you're playing with here as far as Twitter. I get a lot of, why don't the Lakers trade Deng and Clarkson for Dwayne Wade? Because the money works, more or less, and why not? Of course, it would make total sense. Yeah, but why would the Bulls want to pay what is $30 million a year over 3 years? So basically, like, what, $90, $91, $92 million for Jordan Clarkson? Because Deng doesn't have that floor value for them. This is a rebuilding team. They don't need Deng at that price. You certainly don't need Jordan Clarkson at $30 million. That's ridiculous. He's not a max player. And so I don't see how that works. Now, if you say that they trade Jordan Clarkson down the road point and get a late first, I'd say sure. And if they took that late first and maybe even included another first, maybe their own after the draft, next draft, and then you trade Deng, maybe a couple of firsts or a first and a second, I don't even know if a first alone is enough to get rid of Deng. And you look at what Damari Carroll costs, it costs a first and a second. So that's kind of the ballpark. But I think Deng's contract's worse.
Yeah, and the other salary dump was over the summer there. The big one that at least went to the Nets was Timofey Mozgov. And that cost the Lakers a former number 2 overall pick in the draft. And albeit one whose stock, I think, had lowered significantly over his first 2 years in the league from where, you know, if the Lakers had just tried to trade a normal number two pick, you know, D'Angelo Russell's stock, I don't think, was that high, but it's that type of asset that you have to give up to move off of one of these deals. And I've gotten the Clarkson and Dang to Chicago one a fair amount. And I mean, it works out. It's like you said, it works out totally cap wise, but it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense for the Bulls, which is the other reason that the other one that I get all the time is just a theoretical thing, not necessarily fitting with Dwayne Wade, but is what if the Lakers move Clarkson and Randall with Dang and just like get rid of all their salary, because I guess, I don't know, like maybe they ask the other team nicely to help them out with getting
right
LeBron and Paul George. Like I don't know, is that, I don't think that that's
possible. So if a team is taking on Randall, they're taking on the privilege to pay him at a minimum $15 million a year. I mean, you can argue that maybe they play the restricted free agent game like with Nerlens Noel. But really, if you're picking him up, you're picking him up because you want him long term. So now, let's say that, and he'd be eligible for up to $25 million, but let's just eyeball $15 million for Randall just to try to give a clean number that's not too crazy. But now you've taken on Dang and Clarkson, so you're paying what would be $45 million a year for those three players. Is there a world where those three players turns a team into something special? Like, is that if they go to a rebuilding team and that team looks at, like, now we've got two young players that are going to be the core of what we have and the price is a little dang. Sure. I just find that hard to believe. Realistically, I don't think that's where it's going to go, but you never know. And it's certainly possible. I expect the Lakers want to see Randall this year with Lonzo Ball, see what he can be. And if they had to move him, I think they would if it was the right package, the right offer. But I don't think a priority is there for Randall because he might still be something really special. And if you even just go by the simple litmus test of Magic Johnson hyping his own players, and if you go and look at all the interviews that he's had, NBA TVs and radios, he'll talk about Randall, and if Randall gets a left hand, woo-wee, look out. Or rather, if he gets a right hand. And he's talked about Larry Nance and his athleticism and on the wing and woo-wee, you know, Magic doing all his thing. Go and find me some audio where he's saying the same stuff about Clarkson, and you're going to have a hard time finding that. And sometimes those are tells. Maybe Magic values Clarkson as much as the next guy, but I do think that's the odd man out, and if you look at their draft where they got Josh Hart, they got Lonzo Ball, they have Caldwell Pope, who could be someone maybe who sticks around, maybe not. I don't know exactly where Clarkson fits, but from another point of view, they did get Kuzma, and they do have Larry Nance, so to a degree, Randall is expendable, and he might be hard to keep, but at the same time, they'd like nothing more for him to earn a contract that they pay him.
Yeah, so I did have a couple questions about Randall, just so that everyone's clear on this. So if the Lakers are going to extend Randall, what's the deadline for that?
Well, the deadline used to be Halloween, but they changed it. They moved it up to basically the first day of the season. So I think it's October 17th this year. Don't hold me to that, but it's right around the 17th.
Okay.
And so the problem there is that let's say that Randall is worth that number, $15 million, and he agrees to that, and they agree to that, and they pay him that. Then he takes up $15 million of their cap room next year. If they wait, he takes up $12.5 million unsigned. They could say, okay, we'll sign you to $15 million starting, but we got to wait. We're going to use our cap room. We're going to make our moves, and then after we do that, and they have to account for that $12.5 million as a cap hold, then they pay him. And so it's something similar to what happened with Kawhi Leonard couple years back. His cap hold was very small. They've since changed the rules and raised what the cap hold percentages are, so Randall's takes up even more. So call it 12.5 million. It doesn't make a lot of sense to extend him unless the Lakers know for some reason that $2.5 million is not going to be a significant factor. And if they know for some reason that Randall's the guy, based on what he's done so far, based on where they're going, I don't see an extension as wise move, but I do think it's being open-minded to paying him that money next year is definitely the goal, that they want him to earn that. And if he earns it, they want to pay it. They also want to pay LeBron or whoever else is going to come. And to make all those numbers work, probably cost you Clarkson, could cost you Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and they have to find a way out of Deng. And so there's the cost of whatever that is. So it's a complex puzzle. Unless they don't get two max guys, unless they only get one, or if they get no max guys, then all these problems sort of go away and they have to decide, is Randle worth investing in? And maybe the answer is yes. And they keep this green. Maybe this team's great and no superstar wants to come and they just get better and they keep the whole thing together.
Have the people that you've talked to, is that because I've gotten the sense that just from all the reports coming out and everything, that they want to see what Randle looks like with Lonzo. And I think just from watching him play and like how much better he got as a passer in transition last year, I could see him fitting in pretty well with Ball and kind of the more go-go style that they're going to play. But is that really like kind of a factor in whether or not they want to extend him? They want to see what he looks like next to Ball?
I think it's more that $2.5 million is significant. I mean, Rob Pelinka has said things like their cap space next year is sacred. And this is a man who really has strong religious convictions. And if you listen to his press conferences, you'll pick up on that. He'll quote things from the Bible. After they won the lottery, there was basically a thank you prayer that he did.
I think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, what did he call it? Manna from heaven. Yeah, he called them like manna from heaven or like bread from, like bread brought to the Israelites.
Right. Well, it's the story of manna from heaven. So basically, you have to understand that he is someone who has a strong faith. And so when he uses the word, their cap room is sacred, he's not throwing around the word sacred like someone who is more secular would, right? Someone who is not as religious. To him, sacred is more of a sacred word. You know, this is what he believes. So to go ahead and pay Randle now, really somewhat unproven, and then eat up $2.5 million, and that's optimistic that the number's 15, right? Let's say the number's 20. Now that's $7.5 million that you eat up.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. And they don't know who they're going to get. Maybe if they get LeBron and they get another Paul George and they have Brandon Ingram, where is the room for Julius Randle if they have three forwards? And how many forwards can you pay? One of them has to play center. Maybe it's fine. Maybe that's doable. But it's problematic. Maybe George plays shooting guard. You know, there's ways to make it work. But as far as fit, I'm curious to see how – I think there's areas of Randle's game I could point out and say, yeah, that's – if you've got him ripping and running, if you've got him passing the ball the way that he can pass the ball, if Lonzo can really become a marksman as a spot-up shooter, I don't know if he's ever going to be at least early part of his career a strong shooter off the dribble. But I do. We saw at UCLA that Lonzo can shoot when left alone as a spot-up shooter, and I think that part of his game will translate at some point. I don't know if it's going to translate initially, just because it's a lot. It's a lot to transition from college at 18, 19 years old. It's just a lot on any human being. You have your freaks of nature like your LeBron James, and every so often someone comes in that's off the charts, but there are aspects of Lonzo's game that are off the charts as far as playmaking. But in the case of Randle, he doesn't spot up well at all as an outside shooter. He's not a willing shooter, and so that's an area that he has said multiple times that he's really focusing on this summer. We'll have to see how that pays off. If he can hit a reasonable percentage, a 35, 36, man, if he can get up to 36, 37%, that's huge. That's a great percentage for someone in his position. It's enough where you have to cover him.
Yeah.
It's enough where you're productive points per shot that you're going to be fine. Obviously, it's not 40%, which is the goal you want, but that's more maybe guard-related, and if your forward is shooting 37, that's like, yeah, absolutely. So there are areas that could work. As it is right now, the spacing, they're reliant on Brook Lopez being the best shooter out of the front court. And there are some strengths that Brook Lopez brings as a non-rebounder whose teams rebound well. I think Randle will rebound well next to Lopez because he takes a lot of space, and I think he boxes out his guy well. He just doesn't get to the ball as quickly as perhaps he should. I think that'll give opportunities both for Lonzo and for Randle.
Yeah, I think that will ultimately, the Lakers are better off with either of those guys, kind of like you said, ripping and running. But I did, so if Randle does kind of develop this way and he does prove that he's worth that type of deal, and so the Lakers want to keep him, they have to keep him on their cap then at that $12.5 million number until they sign the other guys. So what then, even though I said, I know you're going to get tired of this question eventually, but if they want to keep Randle, what do they have to do to generate those two max slots?
Well, I mean, obviously it varies, because let's say that the two max guys were DeMarcus Cousins and Paul George. That's $60 million. And let's say the two max guys were Russell Westbrook and LeBron James. That's $70 million. So there's a degree of variance. But let's say they get one from that top tier, LeBron, and one from the bottom tier, and we'll just throw in Paul George. And so now you're talking about $65 million. And to get to that is very challenging, but not impossible. They really can keep one, in theory, of Luol Deng, who is the guy that they're stuck with, who they would not like to be stuck with in the future, Jordan Clarkson, who they are in a way stuck with in that he has a contract, can they believe, at least from the people I've spoken to, that they can get out of it if need be, or Randle, or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, or Lopez, in theory. So you can keep one of those guys under the right circumstances, if guys cooperate and work together, and they get good trades for, they would have to trade Deng and Clarkson and let Caldwell-Pope go and possibly let Lopez go, and then you can keep Randle. So it's kind of one guy. They can keep, obviously, their Ingrams and their Nances and young guys, all the guys on the rookie contract. But keep more than one of any of the other players, except possibly Brook Lopez, who I wouldn't be absolutely shocked if there's not a huge market for big guys next year. These teams are going to run out of cap room, and he could be looking at a mid-level offer, which would be about, let's say, $9.5 million starting. He can get that over 4 years, so let's say, let's just call it $40 million. He might get a $40 million four-year offer. But with the Lakers, he could take $4.5 million, which is room exception, just on a one-year, or really it'd be a two-year with an opt-out, so like a one-plus-one, so for kind of insurance. So let's say he took $10 million over 2 years. I'm rounding up. Let's just kind of make it easy numbers. Let's say $10 million over two,
okay,
and it's 5 and 5. And so let's say he opts out of that second year, goes to free agency, they have his bird rights. They can at that point give him a nice $10, $20 million starting salary. So then it becomes a question of cap management for tax, because at that point they're already invested in theory in LeBron James and Paul George and Julius Randle. They would actually renounce Brook Lopez, sign two stars, sign Julius Randle, then use their room exception on Lopez. And then a year goes by, even though they renounced him this next summer, the following summer they regain the full bird rights, and now they can pay him a big dollar. And I think that's a reasonable possibility, because in addition to DeAndre Jordan on the market, you have Nerlens Noel, you have Boogie Cousins, and I feel like I'm forgetting another big guy, but there's not a lot of money that's going to be as anyway these days, right? It's not like centers are the thing.
Centers aren't the thing anymore. There's not, like, we just saw that with Nerlens Noel. He turned down that $70 million deal and ended up having to take the qualifying offer.
Right. Greg Monroe's the other name. So there are guys out there who would be ahead of Brook Lopez would depend on the team. But by and large, the teams with cap room are usually teams that are rebuilding. And if you're going to think about rebuilding, are you going to invest in Brook Lopez? I think the answer is no, based on his age and injury history. So I do think that there's going to be a light market for him. There will be teams with mid-level money, but I think if the Lakers can sell him on it, and he believes that you can't prearrange a deal, but have a basic understanding that we'll take care of you later, even though you can't outright say that, although teams do, for that matter. They do tamper, although that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, we're going to talk about tampering in a second. I have some questions on tampering.
That's technically not tampering. It's more circumvention. It's the same gist of going outside the rules. And so I think it's reasonable that the Lakers could land two stars, keep Brook Lopez, and one of Julius Randle or Jordan Clarkson, provided that they can get out of Luol Deng. And if they can't get out of Luol Deng, it's going to be a challenge for them to keep any of those. And there's still Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to think about. He has the same agent as LeBron James, Rich Paul, and so there's probably some pressure to keep him. I don't think the room exception would be enough for him because they don't have his full bird rights. So that 12-ish million could go to him instead of Randall or Clarkson, and that might just be in and of itself part of what it takes to get LeBron here. It may be part of the deal and probably a short deal, like the same kind of thing, a 1+1 with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and then they can give him a bigger raise, 175% of that number. So there's a lot of creativity that can happen. It's a question of who's willing to work with whom. And then we don't know for sure, and I talk about this on my podcast that I recorded today. I'm going to put it out. We're recording this earlier, but I recorded actually what day? I recorded on Wednesday. That's the day. And we had Dave's friend of mine, and we talked about LeBron and the possibility that maybe he doesn't need the max salary. Maybe he's willing to take less because this is his next destination where he wants to wrap up his career, and maybe he wants to give the Lakers the best chance to win, and he'll make enough through outside sources, be it the industry, the television industry, the shoe industry, etc., that maybe he's the one who's willing to take a little bit to make all that work. You never know how much of a difference would a few million make for LeBron James. He'll be able to make that money up somewhere else. He may already have more money than he'll be able to spend in his lifetime. So we can assume, but we don't know that LeBron is demanding that full amount. And when the time comes, maybe he doesn't. Maybe it takes a little bit less so they could keep someone like Kentavious Cole.
Yeah, I guess that's totally possible. The other thing, you mentioned that, and you've reported this before, but that the Lakers are fairly confident that they can move Clarkson if they need to. Do you know if they have, if they're confident at all in their ability to move Deng? I guess they must be if they plan on freeing up this max space, or, like, I don't know, like, how confident are they that they can move Luol Deng?
Well, I mean, the confidence in getting the two max, I think, stems from conversations they've had with teams about Clarkson. Because if you trade Clarkson, don't bring salary back, let go of Caldwell-Pope, and don't get rid of Deng, or even if you stretch out Deng's salary over multiple years, they're there. They can get to the two max, so they can do it without trading Deng. The reason to trade Deng is to keep someone else. It's to keep Jordan Clarkson or Randall or Pope, or possibly Lopez. So those are considerations. But I think their confidence in their, because from what I've read and then from my conversations, like Polinka talking to like Tanya Gunguly of the LA Times, it has been clear that they have two max slots. I want him to say it in front of me that they have two max slots next year. So yeah, we must believe that they have two max slots next year, even though they don't. And I know he knows his job well enough that this isn't incompetence, that this is someone who is confident in his ability as a GM to make that room. So they believe they have that room. Obviously, we don't have enough information to know because we don't know. We're not privy to the full extent of his conversation.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, so I guess, now that we've gotten through that, I guess the biggest elephant in the room probably is that, you know, even if they free up these two max slots, if they get dinged for tampering with Paul George, there is at least a chance that they might not be able to sign him. And so, I mean, we don't need to get into guessing about whether or not they're going to be charged with tampering or anything like that, because, you know, it's been done. It's kind of old news. But because we have you on the show today, and because you're kind of a CBA, you're probably the smartest person about the CBA that we've had on our show ever, I guess. Yeah, actually, I don't even think that's probably. That's definitely. I did want to play a quick game called Is This Tampering before we wrap up. And so okay, Anthony and I have concocted a couple bizarre scenarios that, some are bizarre, some are more realistic. And I want you to answer whether or not this would be considered tampering under the collective bargaining agreement.
Okay.
Okay. So I guess first one, it will start out easy. This is like the litmus test. Magic saying, going on live TV and saying he's going to wink at Paul George over the summer.
Yeah, to me, that's tampering. I don't think there's any question that what he did on Jimmy Kimmel was tampering. As far as how much money, I would be shocked if it was a penalty more than $100,000. Maybe they make a lesson and do $250,000. That would be stunning. But, I mean, $100,000, yeah, that I could see that.
Okay, so is it tampering? I saw this one. I saw you get this question on your Twitter account yesterday. If a Lakers fan calls Paul George and tells him that he should come to the Lakers.
No, the idea, the question started that was if he called Paul George before he got the job of the Lakers. And I equated that to anybody, be it anybody who doesn't work for the team. They can call Paul George all they want if they have his number. Obviously, if a fan calls up, he's not going to take them. I mean, unless he's Jimmy Butler, he's not going to take the call. But no, anyone can. You just can't be a representative of a team. And Magic, if he had done all that before taking the job, even if he's kind of a ceremonial representative of the team, if he doesn't work, and that actually was an issue, by the way.
Yeah, his Twitter account. Magic, they had to renounce his Twitter account.
No, well, basically he had a ceremonial title as a vice president or something, and it wasn't a paid title, and they basically had to strip him of that because he was out there saying stuff, which is, you know, Magic, and he can't say those things working for the team, representing the team, so they separated, and so that kind of gives you an idea of, yeah, that's tampering, but now that he works for the team as the GM, well, the basketball operations chief, you certainly can't do that stuff.
Okay, so I guess, is it tampering to invite Paul George to join a fantasy NBA draft where he selects guys that he wants to play with, if the Lakers set up this segment during an interview during, like, pregame or something?
And they wanted Paul George to participate?
Yeah, they have a media member, you know, like, I don't know, they have somebody from Lakers.com come and go and interview him when he comes to town about which NBA players he'd most like to play with.
Wow. So, like, different teams have different approaches to that. So, like, for instance, like, the Bulls have put out when it's one of their writers puts out stuff, they'll say, like, this doesn't represent the Bulls. And they're pretty, like, they have a big disclaimer, like, the opinion and all this. And that's basically to avoid kind of what you're talking about. It's really vague, and I don't think they'd probably get hurt for that. But if it's on Lakers.com, they might get hurt for it, and the league could make a sample out of them. Obviously, given the sensitivity of what we've gone through, that's not happening. But let's say this was what happened.
Yeah, I'm just saying in a theoretical
that's
world.
Why, right. If that happened instead of all this Magic, I don't think we'd have anything. I think it would be overlooked. But in a world where Magic has done this, I don't think Mike Trudell is going to be talking to Paul George anytime soon. But, I mean, I'm trying to think, are there any instances on Lakers.com where they interview other teams' players?
Not that I can think of. This would be them getting very creative.
Right. So I think, and I'd have to look, if we go site by site, team site, where it's really clear, it's not like Sam Chicago, where it's like they're in-house media, which is really a mechanism of PR and marketing and not journalism, although certainly like what guys like, you know, Mike Trudell's interview with Jesse Buss just came out is illuminating and it's fascinating to read and it's good work. So I'm not burning him down, but there's a certain amount of when they're the house media, house man, that's PR, not journalism anymore. And so, yeah. There may be a reason why I can't think of any cases like that where the house man has interviewed an opposing player and asked them those kind of questions, and maybe that's because there's a directive from the league not to do that.
So we're gonna go. We'll go with gray area. There, it's possible they could maybe do that.
Right, I'd have to really look into that and see what their answers are, and if then that pretty much answers your question.
Okay, so is it tampering if the Lakers, the night, this same thing, night the Thunder come to town, the Lakers give out number 13 George jerseys at the door, but as long, but they call it George Clooney night?
Wow. Wow. The thing is that the league is not stupid. Like, the Adam Silver, like, from a more serious perspective, is going to look at intent, and that's something that Mark Cuban said on, gosh, on ESPN, was it Rich Eisen's show, I think it was, where he was saying that David Stern was like a letter of the law guy, and especially with his relationship with Mark Cuban, he would always come down hard, period, whereas Adam Silver's more intent. And look at the intent right there. I mean, it's so, I mean, it's ridiculous, right? Just like the whole Magic thing. It's like, yeah, he didn't outright say it, but the intent of what Magic was doing was awfully clear. And if that's what Adam Silver's looking at, intent, then Magic's going to get dinged for that. And your silly example, yeah, get dinged for that. Well, I mean, we don't know if the Lakers, you said, you know, we have no idea if the Lakers did more.
No, then, like, no one knows. The investigators don't even know yet. Only the Lakers and Paul George's agent and all those people know.
Right, and if anyone actually did it. Right? And so, but they're going to look at Rob Pelinka. They're going to look at Magic. They're going to look at emails. They're going to look at text messages. They're going to look at phone records. And if they can find something, yeah, this could be in a very bad place. But it's all speculative. I can say that these rules that are written in the bylaws and constitution. It's not collectively bargained between the players and the union and the team, rather the NBA and the union. It's a very clear thing, and the punishments that are listed in these bylaws are pretty intense. Like, whoever does it and is found basically guilty of it is, like, they could ban outright from the league, like, period, indefinitely. And I don't think it would ever come to that, even if the Lakers did do something stupid. But the penalties, like $5 million, loss of pick, blocking the ability to sign Paul George indefinitely if they want, and then banning that person from basketball potentially indefinitely. I don't think any of it will come to all that, even if there's something there. But, man, I mean, this is why when you hear most GMs, in almost all cases, they shut that stuff down hard. And, they, you know, especially Mitch Kupchak, when you couldn't anything at all, he wouldn't even – Mitch wouldn't even, like, even after they had an agreement.
Without saying anything.
Right. Like, after they had an agreement to sign somebody, he was afraid to, like, outright even say that they had an agreement to sign that person, because he didn't want to in any way say anything that could possibly be construed as tampering.
Yeah, so, okay, so we got one more, and then we'll wrap things up. So, is it tampering for the Lakers to deliver a bag full of cash, or Magic personally, to deliver a bag full of cash to the guys who make Game of Zones to use subliminal messaging to tell Paul George and LeBron to come to L.A.?
Huh. Well, I mean, you'd have to really have the paper trail proving that. So if there was some sort of – and they'd have to – you know, you'd have to do studies to show does subliminal stuff like that work, and the Lakers argue that it was a joke and it didn't, and da-da-da, I don't know. I'm gonna say, yeah, tampering in that case too, but it's you gotta have some proof. And that I mean, you know, these are silly questions, but that's really the reality in the real situation. It can't just be that Rob Pelinka called Aaron Mintz, right? Because he represents Julius Randle, D'Angelo Russell, other players around the league. They have to have something that is a burning, you know, smoking pistol that shows. Obviously, if it was Pelinka calling Magic on his, I mean, Pelinka calling George on his cell phone, that's bad. That's real bad.
Yeah.
But if it's nothing, if it's something, but they can't prove that something is something, then it's nothing. And so there's a real chance that the Lakers were careful, and that what they did that was unseemly, if they did something unseemly, is provable. And I think that's their best hope. Because I've seen teams, by and large, do tamper a degree, that they do prearrange stuff. Mitch was like the lone Boy Scout left in a world where no one's a Boy Scout. And I thought the Lakers were at a competitive disadvantage because of that. Although I have a lot of respect for Mitch and who he was and how he operated. It's hard to do that when everybody else is basically on some level. Not everybody, but most everybody else on some level isn't playing by the same rules.
And that's the thing, right? It has to be super explicit for the NBA to be able to ding them for. I mean, obviously, it's like the national TV thing where Magic went on Kimmel. That was, at the time, I was shocked that there was not more noise that they might get, like, a fine for that, for tampering or something like that. But the stuff with, like, if they were to call Aaron Mintz, and even if the NBA had records of phone calls between Pelinka and Aaron Mintz, and say they had, like, you know, like a 3-hour phone call right around the time, right before Paul George got traded, or right when the noise was at its loudest, they could theoretically just say that that was about D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle or something, right?
Yeah, it's about the investigator to prove that it was something more. And that's, that in and of itself is nothing. It's nothing. They had a conversation with an agent. Teams talk to agents all the time, every day. So where is that? It doesn't mean anything. So that's really where the question lies. Did they do something stupid enough, like Kevin McHale, who had in writing that they were going to pay Joe Smith more money than what the contract was that they actually signed? And this, that's not actually tampering. That was circumvention. It's the same idea. And they kicked him and the owner of the Wolves out of the league for a full year. So that's a, that was a, and they lost a ton of picks and et cetera, et cetera. That was a pretty, and the contract was voided. So the league will come down hard if they can prove something. There's no, you know, contract written on like a napkin or something, Paul George. But maybe there's something that they overlooked. You would think that Rob Pelinka, being in this industry as long as he has, he would have done something. And that Magic, being less experienced, may be more vulnerable. But hard to imagine they would have done that obvious without track had they done.
Yeah, I don't know. I think ultimately my thoughts have been that they're probably going to just get some type of fine for the national TV stuff. But then I think they're, I can't, it's hard for me to imagine that they left blatant enough of a paper trail to like not be allowed to sign Paul George. And if they did, then honestly, they deserve to get fined, I would say.
Yeah, unless they were just texting him back and forth, and then that's not good. And you would think, how could you do that? You know, if you text and then delete the text, that doesn't mean they're gone, right? There are ways to, you know, that to get that information. I don't know how it's all going to work and how it, I mean, do they have the ability, does the investigation have the ability to go and go to the provider and see those text messages, the phone provider? I'm guessing that, well, maybe, I don't know. So those are the kind of questions that I sit down and ask in some of the NBA, like something like how, what kind of latitude do they have? And are they, I mean, do you need to get like a, get these records? I mean, what kind of requirement does the phone company need? Give it up, that collectively bargain players, but owners, is there some team policy? I have to look in the whatever man, you know, the league manual, anything on them. It's fascinating from like a legal perspective. I feel like the burden's going to be a little heavy unless the Lakers were just flat out dumb here. And if they were, then they probably deserve to get punished.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll do it, I guess, today for today's episode of Locked On Lakers. Eric, I really want to thank you for coming on. Do you have anything else you want to plug before we head out the door?
Well, just make sure you follow me on Twitter. If you don't, I'm at Eric Pincus, ERICPINCUS. I can find my Lakers coverage at Bleach Report and my salary pages and writing on the collective bargaining agreement on Basketball Insiders. Every so often, you'll find me on NBA TV. And check out Hollywood Hoops, which is on the Lakers, the Clippers, and anything else going on in this great city.
Yeah, and there, I mean, we say that there's probably almost literally no, I don't think the listener that doesn't know who you are but listens to this podcast exists, but just in case, that's where you can find Eric's stuff, and you should find Eric's stuff. And as always, you can find this show on iTunes, Audio Boom, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. And we will, Anthony and I will be back hopefully with a new episode on Monday. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.